This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk. My name is Jeff Sandhu. In Singapore, Singaporeans are spending about half of their personal consumption spending through electronic means. This could also be said about the urban areas here in Asia, and the numbers will continue to rise steadily in the next coming years. Thus, everyone will need a trump card over cyber criminals targeting electronic currency. And with me today is Jeremy King, the International Director for PCI Security Standards Council. Jeremy, it has now come to a point where all these transactions that's being done online, which is a norm at the moment, it's something that we should be worried. Are we still away from cyber criminals' radar at the moment?
No, I think you're quite right. It is something that we should be taking seriously. I wouldn't use the word worried. I think merchants and organizations who are working in the electronic transaction space, they really need to understand that we are working in all of the regions of the world, but especially in Asia Pacific region where e-commerce is high, we're working against criminals who are very well organized, who can see and attack organizations in order to obtain the credit card information used in e-commerce transactions. So this has grown significantly over the last couple of years and is something now that organizations really need to take seriously.
Mm. I mean, debit cards and credit cards is not something new, and you know, using it for an online purchase, it's not something new again. It's been around for a number of years now. It's just probably, you know, a few years down the road, the population of using, you know, these cards to do their online transactions was fewer. Is it because of just the rise of the amount of people that are using this that has now attracted cyber criminals?
There's two sides of it. One, you're quite correct that we are all becoming much more happy and we like the ease of shopping online. So we are using and we're undertaking far more e-commerce transactions. The other thing is that from the criminal side, they have become much more organized in themselves. So what used to be that you needed a criminal who was an IT expert to be able to undertake a cyber attack against an organization, now these cyber criminals share this information, and essentially you can buy malware as a service. You know, the criminals can share information, they buy it, and so they can target organizations much easier and much more frequently than they ever used to. And unfortunately, there are far more criminals working in this. So it's got to the point where it's now not you need to be unlucky to be attacked. It's now almost commonplace. And organizations really have to take it seriously to prevent the criminals getting in by using the PCI standards to try and protect and provide a good level of security for their organizations.
And within PCI's Security Standards Council itself, how much has the industry sort of changed? And the traditional ways of doing it just can't cope with the vast numbers, or they just can't cope, period, because of, you know, like you mentioned, cyber criminals are just a lot more smarter these days?
I think the standards cope very well. I think organizations that implement them cope very well. I think the problem is that people have tended to try and not implement them fully or try to focus on other things apart from security. And what I'm saying to organizations now, especially in the Asia-Pacific region, is that that time has gone. We're seeing criminals work in many different ways. Sometimes they want to try and break into an organization and insert malware to steal data. Sometimes they want to try and stop you working. We've seen the end of 2016, some of the largest denial of service attacks ever carried out. And those are only going to get worse. And then on top of that, we've seen again throughout 2016, the rise of ransomware, whereby the criminal is now locking you out of your own data. And again, demanding a ransom to release that data. So we're seeing the criminal's activities rise. All of the time, vast majority of the time, it's there to fund their criminal lifestyles. And they are very, very good and very organized at it. And so companies and organizations need to take good levels of protection.
So the need to prioritize security and innovation is more apparent then. Where do we even begin?
I think we have to begin in the boardroom. We have to get the C-level, the executives, on board, and we have to have them realize where we are. For too long, this has been considered to be an IT issue. And although it's an issue that requires a lot of IT support, It is something that affects every single employee in an organization. If the criminals only need one person to click on a phishing email to get into, to break into an organization and insert some malware, then it's critical that every person, every employee in that organization receives good and regular security training. And those sorts of things can only happen when the very top of an organization buys into it. So we have to start at the top, and then we have to get the basics right. And the basics right is understanding the basics of security, security training, what it means, what we're doing, why we're doing it, and what's at risk if we don't do it.
Is the basics just, is it good enough? Because, you know, cyber criminals these days, they operate like an organization itself. They're much more savvy. Is basic just good enough for us at this point of time?
Basic would be a good start. We read very closely a report published each year by Verizon. Verizon are one of our forensic investigators and qualified security assessor companies. And in their 2016 data breach report, they highlighted that over 90% of the breaches could have been prevented if an organization had a basic level of security. So we can see that if we start by getting the basics right, that will help. But obviously, going forward, it has got to be, it can't be, we'll just do the basics and that is it. It is the starting point. And then from the starting point, we've got to keep building on so that people understand constantly improving their levels of security.
This awareness issue, is it also apparent here in Asia?
Oh, absolutely. The big challenge for the Asia-Pacific region is, unlike Europe, where we are one common market, and the United States, which is a United States, the Asia-Pacific region is individual countries with their own requirements and their own regulations and their own ways of doing things. There's not a collective level of support or level of work against the criminals. So for Malaysia, we have to work in Malaysia, in Japan, we're there, in China. Each one's got its own slight different thing. And unfortunately, where you get those individual differences, that's where there's opportunity for the criminal. So you put together three things, which is more individual nature of the countries in the Asia-Pacific region, a love of technology, which is fantastic to see. You drive some of the world in new payment techniques, in new technologies, and a love of e-commerce. And those three are giving the criminals the opportunity. And that's why organizations in the Asia-Pacific region must use the PCI standards to help them get that good basic level of security in place so we can really start trying to protect our customers and our cardholders, because that is what we want. We want to protect our organizations, and we want the customers and the shoppers to be confident that they can shop online without fear of losing their card data.
I'm speaking to Jeremy King. He's the International Director for PCI Security Standards Council. And we're talking about the need to have a trump card over cyber criminals targeting the electronic currency. We'll be right back in just a moment. BFM 89.9. You're still listening to Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu, and I'm speaking to Jeremy King, the International Director for PCI Security Standards Council. And we are talking about the need to have a trump card over cyber criminals targeting electronic currency or just digital transactions. Jeremy, how big of an impact has it been to victims or organizations that have fallen prey into cyber criminals?
It's another interesting change that we've seen throughout 2016 is that it used to be that they would steal the card data and then they would use the card in a fraudulent manner. And for most of the credit card companies, that would mean some inconvenience for the cardholder, but they wouldn't actually lose any money because they would be covered. But what we've seen in some of the attacks in certain countries, that they are also now gaining personal data. I've seen an attack in the UK where the criminals didn't get any card data, but they got sufficient personal data that they would then contact the customers pretending to be that organization so they could gain access to their bank accounts and then take all of their money. And that has a massive impact. That has a massive impact on people. It has a massive impact on how people then look at your company. You know, if they feel that they haven't been looked after by that company, then they will not use that company again. So the reputational damage as well as the financial damage is massive for organizations. And they have to realize this is what's at risk today.
So do we need to build, you know, new payment methods? And if so, what would they be like? Because currently, at the point of time, the rise of the online world is just simply because of the ease of doing things. But now it feels like we got to take a step back and, you know, the finding that right balance between security and the ease of doing things needs to be relooked at. And or do we just build a new payment method?
I think that's an interesting question. I think certainly within the organizations, within the payment brands, they are looking at how they can devalue that data so that it is of less use to the criminal. And so we're seeing new techniques such as tokenization, which really sits behind the Samsung Pay, the Apple Pay, the Android Pays. That is a way of trying to remove the card data so that the data, if it does fall into the hands of the cyber criminals, is of no use. And I think it's not so much that we need to develop new payment techniques. They're being developed constantly. And so it's looking at those and seeing how we can ensure that when new techniques come along, they are going to be a secure way of undertaking payments, and they're not going to make the situation worse.
And how would more secure payment methods or solutions eradicate cybercriminals? Would that happen? Would we see an end of cybercriminals?
I would love to say yes. I really would love to say yes. I think one of the things that, having been in payment security for a number of years, is as we take away one opportunity, they find a new opportunity. And that's what we have to be aware of. As we close down one avenue, we make, you know, if we devalue the card data so they can't use it, how are they going to do that? And one of the things that we have seen is that they are looking to now utilize not just payment data, but all data. All personal data has now become very valuable to them. And so it's not just that companies have to protect their payment data. They also have to protect all of their customer data. And that is the next step forward.
So how can Asian businesses integrate security and encryption across, you know, so many different channels that we have these days?
Yes, that is very true. That is very true. So we're back to that question of where do we start? And I think for organizations, they have to focus on where is the greatest risk. And once we've got the buy-in from the board, then we look. And for Asian businesses that are very busy in the e-commerce space, that is where the focus has got to be. Then you've got to make sure that, you know, you are protecting the payment data, the personal data. You're restricting access to that data to only those people in the organization who need it. And by adopting the PCI standards, the most relevant PCI standards, the PCI DSS standards, we provide an excellent level of protection, an excellent set of requirements and a process by which organizations can implement good levels of data protection. Because one of the other things as well is it's not just about building walls to keep the criminals out. It's about knowing that the criminals have broken in. And if you can detect that the criminals have broken into your organization quicker, then you can react to that and stop them stealing large amounts of data. And that's the second part of it. So good assessments, good regular checking of your systems is also critical.
Looking ahead, Jeremy, there are so many new technologies that will require, you know, the online transaction world, you know, IoT, for example, you know, ordering your groceries from your refrigerator itself. There's just so many devices that are being connected, and we're all going to be using, you know, so many payment methods to try and interact with these devices. How is this going to change the game because of the surge of the amount of devices that we will get?
And I think that's one of the most exciting things, is that we have these new technologies coming along, new ways of doing business. And one of the challenges we have to look at is, you know, if my fridge gets to the point where it can detect that I've run out of milk and it can just automatically contact the local grocer and say to them, please send me some milk, then have I undertaken that transaction or is my fridge? And that's one of the challenges that we are going to face in the security industry, is this is where technology is going. So how can we ensure that when my fridge contacts my grocer to order some milk, that transaction is going to be secure, that the criminals can't intercept that or gain access to that? And that's the challenge where, from PCI's perspective, we need most support from all of the industries and organizations who are working in this space. If we work together as these are being developed, then we can understand better how, from the outset, to build in security, because I think building in security into these areas is critical to ensure a good, secure process going forward.
But it's challenges like that that keeps the job fun, I guess.
Absolutely, absolutely. These are the interesting, the really exciting, interesting challenges that are coming along.
I've been speaking to Jeremy King. He's the International Director for PCI Security Standards Council, talking about the need to have a trump card over cyber criminals targeting the digital transaction world. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.